Blackstone Audio presents Little Big or The Fairy's Parliament by John Crowley. This book is read by John Crowley.
A little later, remembering man's earthy origin, dust thou art and to dust thou shalt return, they liked to fancy themselves bubbles of earth. When alone in the fields with no one to see them, they would hop, skip, and jump, touching the ground as lightly as possible and crying, "We are bubbles of earth, bubbles of earth, bubbles of earth." Flora Thompson, Lark Rise.
Book 1, Edgewood. Chapter 1.
Men are men, but man is a woman. Chesterton.
Somewhere to elsewhere.
On a certain day in June, 19-, a young man was making his way on foot northward from the great city to a town or place called Edgewood that he had been told of but had never visited. His name was Smokey Barnable, and he was going to Edgewood to get married. The fact that he walked and didn't ride was one of the conditions placed on his coming there at all. Though he had left his city room early in the morning, it was nearly noon before he had crossed the huge bridge on a little-used walkway and come out into the named but boundaryless towns on the north side of the river. Through the afternoon he negotiated those Indian-named places, usually unable to take the straight route commanded by the imperious and constant flow of traffic. He went neighborhood by neighborhood, looking down alleys and into stores. He saw few walkers, even indigenous, though there were kids on bikes. He wondered about their lives in these places, which to him seemed gloomily peripheral, though the kids were cheerful enough. The regular blocks of commercial avenues and residential streets began gradually to become disordered, thinning like the extremes of a great forest. Began to be broken by weedy lots as though by glades. Now and then a dusty undergrown wood or a scruffy meadow announced that it was available to be turned into an industrial park. Smokey turned that phrase over in his mind, since that seemed truly the place in the world where he was, the industrial park, between the desert and the sown. He stopped at a bench where people could catch buses from somewhere to elsewhere. He sat, shrugged his small pack from his back, took from it a sandwich he had made himself, another condition, and a confetti-colored gas station road map. He wasn't sure if the map were forbidden by the conditions, but the directions he'd been given to get to Edgewood weren't explicit, and he opened it. Now, this blue line was apparently the cracked macadam lined with untenanted brick factories he had been walking along. He turned the map so that this line ran parallel to his bench, as the road did. He wasn't much of a map reader. And found, far off to his left, the place he walked toward. The name Edgewood didn't appear, actually, but it was here, somewhere in this group of five towns, marked with the legend's most insignificant bullets. So, there was a mighty double red line that went near there, proud with exits and entrances. He couldn't walk along that. A thick blue line, on the model of the vascular system, Smokey imagined all the traffic flowing south to the city on the blue lines, away on the red, ran somewhat nearer, extending corpuscular access to towns and townlets along the way. The much thinner sclerotic blue line he sat beside was tributary to this. Probably commerce had moved there, tool town, food city, furniture world, carpet village. Well, but there was also, almost indistinguishable, a narrow black line he could take soon instead. He thought at first that it led nowhere, but no, it went on, faltering, seeming at first almost forgotten by the map-maker and the ganglia, but then growing clearer in the northward emptiness, and coming very near a town Smokey knew to be near Edgewood. That one, then. It seemed a walker's road. After measuring with his thumb and finger the distance on the map he had come, and how far he had to go, much farther, he slung on his pack, tilted his hat against the sun, and went on.